1570 AM, 96.9 FM, and now at 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfurt, Lebanon, Delphi, talking local.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
All right, and welcome aboard WILO Party Line, of course, being brought to you, as always, by our friends at BoonCountyDailyNews.com, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, and the newest addition to the Casper Media Group family, CarrollCountyDailyNews.com. Go check out your local news sources for all those counties. Also, TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Marshan's Window Tinting in Antioch, we stick it where the sun shines. Vierk's Fine Jewelry in Lafayette. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives and big deals. Save money now and 24-7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. The online telecast at HoosierLandTV.com, brought to you by Day and Ginn Funeral Home, ProBuy Computer Sales and Service, the Farmers Bank, 51 West Event Center, Ye Old Spirit Shop, and Ellis Jewelers on HoosierLandTV.com. For WILO, Todd Berryman on this side of the board, Melissa Miller making her official return to the other side of the board. You sound less Mo the bartender.
Yeah, the voice is coming back slowly but surely. So.
I mean, there's still a nice, rich public radio resonance. Hello, I'm Melissa Miller, but it's less
yeah,
gritty.
It's not near as gritty. Yeah, no more Lauren Bacall. It's slowly.
That's a shame.
Getting away.
That's a shame. Lauren Bacall's a favorite of your co-host here. We have a couple of guests actually standing by on the phone with related aims, I guess we should say.
This is kind of fun, actually, and I don't know if they realize they're both on at the same time because they're both in different school buildings, but they're with the same school district. We have Sharon Henry, who is the assistant principal at the Clinton Central High School, and also Aubrey Smith, who is the principal of the Clinton Central Elementary. So
we're covering the seven ages of man here.
Yeah,
we got it covered.
Definitely, and I love the fact that it is...
sheer coincidence?
No, well, I think it's kind of cool to have powerful women.
Heck yeah.
On together. So
sign me up.
Ladies, thank you for joining us. I don't know if you guys realized that you were both calling in at the same time or not.
I did not.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes, always exciting to have Aubrey on the line with me and working together with her.
Well, I love everything that you guys are doing out there at Clinton Central. I mean,
yeah.
And Aubrey knows this. I'm a Clinton Central brat. My kids were Clinton Central kids, too, as well. So I spent a lot of time out there, not only as a student, but also as a room mother. But you guys there's a lot going on out at Clinton Central, and I don't mean just because of all the construction and everything that's going on out there. So let's go to Sharon first real quick here. And Sharon, talk about, I know how obviously the construction has to be impacting things in the school building, but... you guys seem to be navigating everything really well.
I think we are, yes. I believe that it's the accolades need to be made for our students. The students have been gracious in helping make sure that hallways are clean. They make sure that everything is in line and that there's nothing extra that we have to do. But the good news is that we're supposed to move in within the next week or two over the holidays here. The offices will be completed. The outside addition for the gymnasium, that will not be done until, I believe, next summer. But I got to tell you, it's just been exciting. All kinds of new things happening here at Clinton Central.
Now, I know as when you get moved into the offices and everything, does that include moving the superintendent's office over as well? Because I know it's coming over to make room in the elementary. So.
Yep, they are actually closing their office today, and they are working on getting all of their stuff moved as best they can today.
So, Aubrey, what's that mean for you in the elementary to have that open space? And talk about what all this construction at the high school, you're also doing renovations in the elementary, too. So talk about how that's affecting you and your students and what that's going to look like for you.
Sure. So far over here... Our construction has mainly just been VRF replacements of the HVAC units, and we've been closing down basically a wing at a time, so five classrooms, which would mean, you know, all of our fourth grade or all of our second grade, and relocating them throughout the building. And so having that space in the superintendent's office open up is huge, especially right now, because there are barriers, I guess you would say, to some of the additional spaces that we would have available, and we are just very, very tight, especially to run our before and after school program. Sometimes there's not space for the groups of kids that we have, and we have to be very, very creative. But overall, I would second what Sharon has said. Our kids have transitioned very well, you know, from being out of their normal classroom environment, and our teachers have just been very flexible. We've, of course, hit some hiccups in the road, as I think everyone does when they undergo a construction project. We had a few days here that were pretty chilly, where our units that were supposed to be started up weren't quite started up yet. But overall, we've navigated it, I feel like, pretty well. So we're excited, too, just to make sure that we're providing, you know, the best learning environment that we can. And I think it's going to be around spring break time when they start on our new bathroom addition, which will kind of go right in between where our cafeteria and our early kindergarten wing is located, which is very close to, like, the pool entrance and all of that, too. And we're definitely in need of some restrooms on that side of the building. So we're excited about that work getting started.
Yeah, definitely, because otherwise you had to go down the hallway. And, of course, I know some of the classrooms have changed, but you had to go down midway through the hallways down in between the older classrooms in order to access those facilities. So that'll be nice, yep, to have those back there, especially with the little ones.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are very, very excited to have that portion done. I think it'll might add a little bit of space in our cafeteria as well, so we're thrilled.
I know the Bulldog Club and all the after-school activities that you have, like you said, it's been kind of tight, but how many activities now, how many classes do you guys have now after school?
So after school, we have about 110 kids coming on average after school, which is pretty neat. We have it divided pretty nicely where the kids have, since we operate 4 days a week, the kids have a day of math enrichment or remediation, a day of ELA enrichment or remediation, and then the other 2 days are club days for them. If you saw our schedule, you'd probably be a little overwhelmed. I know I always am in creating it. But we have some cool things going. We have Mrs. Linda Barnett, who comes and does a cooking club for us right now on Mondays with our younger kids. We had a partnership going with CORE out of Frankfurt, and they were sending some staff out to do some unique and fun clubs. We have a partnership with Girl Scouts right now, and that changes every 9 weeks. So right now we're planning for our third 9 weeks, as we've only got a few days left here before Christmas, and that whole schedule will change again. But we have about six to eight groups going every day after school out here. So,
Sharon, I wanted to bring up the fact that, of course, a lot of people know, I think they realize now because of the full disclosure that goes on out at Clinton Central, that the new offices moved into what was the library. So now talk about the relocation of the library and then the multimedia center that you're actually going to be putting in.
Exactly. We are actually just flip-flopping spaces. Where the old library was is where our new offices are going to be. They completely gutted that library where the fax department used to be. Excuse me. And then that's where the new office area will be. And then the superintendents, the central offices will be in that area also. And that leaves where our offices currently are. They're actually going to make it the multimedia center, which is going to be a very open concept, lots of places for kids to do research, to sit and relax and do some individual work and independent work. And it's just going to open this entire area up where the old guidance counselors' offices were, the athletic offices, the main offices as well. And so we're just actually flip-flopping, which is it's kind of a neat idea, but they'll start construction on the library, as we used to call it, the multimedia area. They'll start that construction here at the beginning of next semester.
What's the estimated timeline of that being finished?
They are saying that that will be done at the end of the summer as well. So when we start the new school year next year, hopefully all the construction, everything will be out of the way, and that we will have full access to every part of our building.
Aubrey, are you guys looking about the same timeline for everything that's going on there at the elementary?
I think our timeline is very dependent on if everything goes well at the high school and with their timeline. So we're trying not to get our hopes up or be too strict on what that looks like over here yet.
Well, I know, ladies, as you said, we are winding down. We're finishing up with the second 9 weeks and wrapping up the semester, getting ready to go into Christmas break. What's some of the things that you guys are looking forward to in 2024? And we'll start with Sharon. As far as moving forward, let's put the construction on the back burner and let's just move forward with everything that's going on there at the school as far as educational opportunities and things that you're looking forward to towards finishing out the school year in 2024.
Sure, we have a lot of things that are happening here. First and foremost, I think it's important for us to mention that we are getting a new principal. Mr. Tom Hughes is coming to Clinton Central. He lives in our area and has children in our area, and his wife works in the area. He was a principal over in the Kokomo School Corporation at one of the middle schools. But we enticed him to come this way, and I just can't think of a greater person to have in the position of principal here. He's a fabulous leader. He is very educationally minded. He understands how schools work, and he is just a great motivator, great person to talk to, good family man, has the interest of the school at his heart. And so I am very excited to be working with Mr. Hughes, and has been in our building a couple of times, and has worn those crazy Christmas suits, and I love that his spirit is youthful. I think the kids are really going to like him, and I'm looking forward to working with him, too. So welcoming Tom to our family is probably going to be the biggest thing that we have going on. As we move forward, we have the 64th Annual Boys Basketball Holiday Tournament. That has always been a crowd pleaser and a great community showing for our basketball teams. The dates of that will be Thursday and Friday, December 28th and 29th. One of the changes the past couple of years is that this is now an 8-team tournament. Used to be a 4-team tournament. But those are, for a 2-day tournament pass, tickets are $15 a piece, and for a single day pass, it is $10. So we'd like to invite everybody in Clinton County and beyond to come out for, this is one of the oldest standing holiday tournaments in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, exactly.
First started by, I believe, Wilbur Rule, if I am correct. And it was a 4-team at that time. But like I said, areas within the school, we're going to have Clinton Central, of course, Clinton Prairie. We'll have Carroll out of Flora, Fountain Central, North Putnam, Noblesville Homeschool Team, Tipton, and Western. And again, the dates are Thursday and Friday, December 28th and 29th. And be great basketball for everybody that is looking for something to do between the holidays. So we invite everybody out. I wanted to let you know that tonight we have a choir concert here at Clinton Central. Would love for you all to come out and support our choir. Our band did have their choir or their concert last week, and it was fabulous. Our band and choir always put on a wonderful show. Other things that might be happening, or not might be, but our FFA and ag program are just taking off. These kids are all over the state of Indiana at competitions. They are, they last week went over to Purdue and got to see they had a beef congress, and then they also had a hog harvest. And so the animal science class went over and got to see the entire and experience the process of processing hogs, and the kids really seem to enjoy that. But our FFA and ag program is really keeping these kids really busy this year.
Well, and I think and a testament to that, too, is the fact that a lot of the ag classes are considered science credits now.
Oh, yeah. We do have some science courses. We have animal science, which would count as a science course. Food science, those both actually count by the state as a core transfer class that can be counted as a science course. So those students who would not like to go into the chemistry or the physics route can actually take something that is in the ag department as a science credit. So that always helps. It's good to have options for the kids.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, I'm
from the ag side of it, too, and that Clinton Central has really, the program has come, there for a while it was starting to get a little quiet, but they have really rallied again and just turned into a very community-oriented club, which is something else that I kind of like. I love seeing is that Clinton Central, both in the elementary and the high school, promote community.
Exactly, and the accolades go out to our sponsors. We have Mrs. Kerwick and Mr. Burns, who are always looking for things for these young men and women to join and participate in, and it's hands-on. A lot of the things they're doing is hands-on. So we do want to give out a big shout-out to our FFA club. And then one last thing I would like to mention is that we have a young lady here at Clinton Central who has joined the Thousand Point Club in basketball, and that's Miss Sarah Parkinson.
Mm-hmm.
So she did just last week joined our Thousand Point Club, and then she also the following night became the female leading scorer and holds the school record for the leading scorer. So not only is she a Thousand Point Club recipient, she also holds the school scoring record. So big shout out to her and the girls basketball team who are being very successful. And so Big shout out to those gals. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, they've been kind of flying under the radar, but I think after this past weekend, I think people are going to really start taking notice.
I believe that as well. Yeah,
I think we have probably two of the best basketball teams in the state right now in our area, and that's Clinton Central and Carroll. And those two are exciting, and I look forward to a rematch.
Mm-hmm. Definitely so. So that's what's happening. And as we look forward, we do have our cheerleaders. Last thing I'll mention, our cheerleaders did qualify for the National High School Cheerleading Championship, and that is in February. And so they will attend that in Orlando, Florida. So our coach, Allison Schultz, and coach, Kadison Zetterberg and Elizabeth Grithby will be taking, I'd say 15 or so girls who will be going and traveling to Orlando, Florida in February. So I might have to ask if I can chaperone that trip.
It sounds like a lot going on at the high school. So, Aubrey, I know it's just as busy as the elementary. You guys have a lot going on, and also talk about what you're looking forward to for next year.
Sure. Yeah, so our December, of course, is always so much fun at the elementary school with the Christmas magic with our age of students over here. We've been able to do some cool things. We've done trivia every day on the announcements in December, some sort of Christmas question, and the classes call in and try to be a certain caller to get a prize. And it's so fun to hear them celebrate through the hallways when they win, and that's been a lot of fun. Of course, we have our dress-up days, and actually last week it was pretty nice. We did our second annual staff Christmas party over at Arborwood, and they just decorated it beautiful, and the food was delicious, but it was such a great time to come together and just celebrate each other and all of our wins this year and kind of just see each other outside of school, get to meet some spouses and significant others in one way or another. So that was a lot of fun last week. Our kids, in grades 4, 5, and 6 got to go ice skating last week too, which was a really cool opportunity for them. We learned just how many of those kids cannot yet tie their shoes. So we now have a brand new goal before they ever leave our building. It's unbelievable how many kids couldn't tie their shoes and wear, you know, those shoes like Hey Dudes or whatever and have just never learned the skill. And so that was not something that we really anticipated facing. But the kids absolutely loved being out there on the ice, and it was really cool to see them, several of them, of course, had never had that opportunity to go ice skating before. So big kudos to Mr. Helmick for planning that trip and for all the chaperones and teachers that went to help and make sure that, nobody lost a finger or anything like that out there on the ice. But it was a great field trip for all. So we are super excited for our staff volleyball game. That's on Wednesday of this week, right before we go on break. Our kids really get divided between I wear and lead the red team, and then Mrs. Golden, our assistant principal, leads the green team, and so kids dress in red or green depending on who their teacher or whatever team their teacher is on. For the most part, some of them try to wear red and green, and they're divided. But we have a big volleyball game that morning, and all the kids cheer us on, and we have Christmas music going, and so just such a fun time to be in school. And we have, of course, our holiday parties, and parents will come in as well for those.
Predictions on who's going to take the volleyball tournament?
You know, I feel like it could be red team again this year. I don't want to be presumptuous, but, I mean, the teams are divided pretty even. We draw out of a hat, so there's no cheating going on. And some of our teachers, I mean, the competitiveness is just crazy. There's trash talk in the hallways. It really starts to be quite the ordeal as we get closer to the big game.
And you don't participate in any of that, do you?
Oh, I participate in all of that. It is so much fun.
I knew you did. That's the reason why I brought it up.
Absolutely. But looking forward to January and the more academic pieces. We do have so much going on as well. We're doing our benchmarking, getting ready for our second 9 weeks progress reports to come out here in the next couple of days. January, we're going to be continuing with our curriculum mapping. All of our teachers are working very hard to get common assessments done. We're focusing on math this year and making sure that no matter what teacher is in the classroom or in that grade level, at any certain time, they know exactly what the content should be, and it is aligned both horizontally and vertically, and that process has been going very well. We're also working closely with a consultant. Her name is Jamie Peevler, and she's done a lot of work with us on science of reading research, and we're really just kind of piloting and testing out, what are the best ways for kids to understand this material that they're not, those that have been taught Tier 1 and are still not getting it. What are we doing for those kids, and what are we doing for the kids that are getting it to make sure we're pushing them, as much as we possibly can be? So having some really great conversations around data. Of course, we'll have all of our NWEA data back in January and really be able to dig deep into that and see what it tells us and how to move kids forward as much as we can to finish the 23-24 school year strong.
I think everything that you guys do out there. I've spent a lot of time out there, of course, but on both sides of it, in the high school and also in the elementary, and I do know that the kids are the main focus of everything that goes on in both schools, and kudos to you and your staff for everything that you've done, and Sharon, thank you for holding down the fort, because I know you've been holding down the fort for quite a while, and it's probably going to be nice to have that, have Tom come in and take some of that pressure off, just at least a little bit of it.
For you. I'm looking forward to it, yes.
Yeah, definitely. But
for a lot of reasons, more so for our stability of our students and our community. But I got to tell you, I'm a little selfish on that one, too.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you've done an amazing job. So,
thank you.
Wearing both hats at the same time, and your staff will back me up on that, because I've heard that from them as well. So,
well,
Aubrey, as
you.
Always, I'm a fan, always have been, and I love the fact that you get out there and visit the classrooms and make it a priority to spend time with not only your staff but also with your students. And what's your favorite book to read to the kids this year?
Santa Kid. I'm so glad you asked that question. So I grabbed that book off of Mrs. Golden's bookshelf, and because I'd never seen it before, and I collect children's books, and I felt like I knew all of the Christmas stories that were new. But it is by James Patterson, who usually, mm-hmm. A lot of his books are more aimed for the adult audience. So it is an awesome picture book, and it has kids laughing, but it has such a great message about believing at Christmas time, and how, you know, Christmas isn't about the presents, but it's about believing. And I think that that's kind of up to interpretation at the end of the story too. And I just love the conversations and the connections that kids were making. And I've been, Mrs. Golden and I both have been around the building reading Christmas stories. We let teachers sign up for a time, and we've been visiting just as many as we can, but that one has definitely been a favorite this year.
Oh, that's cool. And as far as James Patterson goes, you might check it out, because I think, if I remember right, your kids are about the same age as my grandson. And James Patterson has been writing some children's books, and he is now like my grandson's favorite author.
Oh, I love that.
Nice.
So you might want to check that out and see what else is available in his catalog. If Jacob were here, he could tell you. Yeah, Jacob's not here. But anyway, check those out as well. Ladies, I thank you so much for being on and allowing us to tag team. I appreciate everything that you do out there at the school, and I know the community does too, and we look forward to speaking with you again in the new year. Enjoy the holiday season with your families, and thank you so much just for everything that you do.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll catch you at the flip of the new year.
Yep. We will. All right. All right. You
Looking
guys take care.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye bye.
Merry Christmas.
You too. Bye bye. It's WILO, the party line. We did not ask them about this, but I'm curious because this happened to me in third grade.
Uh-huh.
My third grade teacher thought it would be a brilliant idea in Colorado Springs to read the kids Where the Red Fern Grows.
Mm.
I'm assuming you're familiar with the book.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that was traumatizing.
Yeah,
when's really an ideal time to read that book?
High school.
Yeah, and you know, and it's the thing where, you know, I'm a third grade boy. Boys don't cry.
No.
So, of course, we have to make fun of it and get the girls riled up, because that was the whole thing, is if we didn't do that, if we didn't make light of it, we would have just been puddles on the playground after she finished. And when your teacher is starting to lose it, it's like, why are we sitting here? Could we just have Dr. Seuss?
That is not one that you read.
Mrs. Lovell, if you're still alive and you're listening in Colorado Springs to the show right now.
Yeah.
We should come up with that. That should be one of like Cindy's questions. Wildly inappropriate, supposedly juvenile literature you should never read to kids at a certain age or something. I don't know. This could be fun.
That could be interesting, definitely. For
and the trick is to do it in such a way as to not give away the plot lines.
Yeah.
So if you've read The Red Fern Grows out there, you know exactly why.
That is not, no. That is not appropriate for elementary school at all.
No, thank you. I'd rather read The Fox and the Hound, and I don't want to read The Fox and the Hound either. Take a breather?
Yep, take a breather.
All right, we're at the halfway point of the WILO party line. Stick around. You're on WILO, 9 o'clock.